and help us to apply what's being taught. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Amen. All right, you're in John chapter number 9. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. The title of the sermon this morning is Business Hours. Business Hours. Look down at your Bibles at verse number 1. It says, "And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth, and his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned, nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest. Verse number 4, I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." Now, here in John chapter 9, we find the story of the blind man who was healed by Jesus. And, you know, when we see this blind man, we see that he is blind as a result of God allowing this in order to manifest his power to him. That's why he says there in verse number 3, he says, "Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest." Now, if you think about it, this is actually a really good time to be blind, if you think about it. It's a good time to be blind. It's a good time to be maimed. It's a good time to have leprosy. Why? Because that's the time when Jesus is there. This would have been a perfect time for the coronavirus to exist, amen? He would have been healing people left and right. No masks needed. You know, the supposed mask or even the vaccine, right? Here we see that he's born in a great time when he's blind, he's maimed, he's blind, other people are maimed, they have sicknesses, and God is there to basically show himself strong on his behalf. He heals him, and he receives his sight because he is the great physician, amen? But I want you to notice verse number 4. It says there, "I must work the works of him that sent me. While it is day, the night cometh when no man can work." Now, what is he saying? Well, think about this. Jesus said in Luke chapter 2 that he must be about his Father's business, right? And Jesus, we know that the business of Jesus was to do good, to preach the gospel, heal the sick, do the will of him that sent him. This was his Father's business that he sent him to do. And he fulfilled that business with a sense of urgency, right? When he did it, he worked hard. You know, the Bible tells us in Luke chapter 13 and verse 32, "And he said unto them, Go ye and tell that fox, Behold, I cast out devils, and I do cures today and tomorrow, and the third day I shall be perfected. Nevertheless, I must walk today and tomorrow and the day following, for it cannot be that a prophet perish out of Jerusalem." One thing that you can see from Jesus' ministry is that he had a great work ethic. I mean, he worked every single day healing people, preaching God's word, multiplying the fish and the bread, casting out devils, doing exorcisms. I mean, he's working 24/7, constantly doing his Father's business, right? Matthew 12, verse 13 says, "Then said he to the man, Stretch forth thine hand, and he stretched it forth, and it was restored whole like as the other. Then the disciples went out and held the council against him, how they might destroy him. But when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence, and great multitudes followed him, and he healed them all." Now, when it says great multitudes, what does that mean? Well, when you look at the great multitudes that followed him, when they actually counted, it was at least 15,000 people. Because it would say 5,000, but that's only counting the men, not the women and children. So it could be approximately 15,000 to 20,000 people, depending on how many kids they had, right? So you have thousands of people there with diseases and all these things, and he healed them all. Okay, and yes, all really means all, amen. Mark 3:20 says, "And the multitude coming together again, so that they could not so much as eat bread. And when his friends heard of it, they went out to lay hold on him, for they said, He is beside himself." They're just thinking, man, he's going crazy. He's healing so many people. He's just working nonstop. You know, he's a workaholic. He's healing. He's preaching. He must be beside himself. This is showing us that Jesus took his business very serious, right? He put a concerted effort into doing the Father's business. And by the way, he expected his employees to have that same attitude, to have an all or nothing attitude, to just leave everything and concern themselves with preaching the kingdom of God, doing the work of the ministry, etc. This is why he tells them in Luke chapter 9, verse 62, "And Jesus said unto him, No man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God." So anybody who was going to be hired by Jesus to work for him when he was there for his three-year ministry, hey, they needed to make sure that they're willing to deny themselves, to take up their cross, and follow Jesus Christ to do whatever he told them to do. Now, why did he do that? Why was he so serious about his business? Why did he make sure that his disciples were so serious about the Father's business? I'll tell you why. Because of the business hours. Because every business has an opening time, and guess what? It also has a closing time as well. These were his business hours. And look, if we were to think about it from a spiritual perspective, Jesus' business hours, his business was only available for 3 years. Now, obviously, we understand he's in heaven today. He's resurrected. He's making intercessions for the saints. He's the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours only, but the sins of the whole world. We know that he has a ministry right now. But as far as him being physically on this earth, it was only for 3 years. Hey, that business closed down 2,000 years ago. Right? These were his hours of operation. And this is why he said, yeah, I'm going to heal this guy, make manifest the power of God in his life, because the night cometh when no man can work. What is he saying? Well, the analogy that he's drawing there is that every business at one point or another at night ends up closing. Now, with your exception of like 7-Eleven and, you know, I don't know, some Walgreens or whatever, they're open 24/7, or Walmart or whatever, you know. Generally speaking, most businesses have a closing time. And this is what he's saying. Look, the night cometh when no man can work, so let's get as much done as possible before that night comes. Okay? Now, you know, you think of a business that opens from 9 to 5, 10 to 6. The boss of that business wants you to get the job done in that window of time. He wants you to make sure that you do what he's commissioned you to do during that window of time. And what he's specifically referring to is his death. When he talks about the night coming when no man can work, he's actually specifically referring to himself that at the end of those 3 years, he's going to die, he's going to be crucified, and the Son of Man shall be taken from the earth at that point. Okay? He understood he only had approximately 3 years to accomplish the work that he was sent to do. Therefore, he put in a lot of hours, did a lot of work because of the fact that he knew that the night was coming. Now, let me just say this, is that we at First Works Baptist Church, we have business hours as well. And I'm not talking about the physical business hours. Like, I don't even know what we have on Google, you know, open from this time to this time or whatever. You know, but really, we just never stop working is what it is, okay? We are open, and no, that doesn't mean you can call at whatever hour you want, and if you do call, you're probably not going to get someone to answer the phone. But we have business hours, and in fact, every individual here, you guys have business hours as well. And there is a closing time for everyone. What am I talking about? You're going to die soon. I'm not trying to prophesy of your death here. But I'm saying it is appointed for a man once to die, but after this, the judgment, right? Now, that goes for the person who's not saved, the person who, you know, has not trusted in Christ. That person has a closing time when it becomes too late. But in like manner, you know, the Christian also has a closing time. Now, we obviously understand that if you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, you're saved, you have eternal life. But you know what? Once that hour comes, once the night comes, once the business hours close and it's time to shut down, you can no longer work for the Lord. It's over. It's done. This is why the Bible tells us in Romans chapter number 12. Now turn with me, if you would, to James chapter number 4. Go to James chapter 4, if you would. I'm going to read to you from Romans chapter number 12, verse 10. It says, "Be kindly affectioned one to another with brotherly love, in honor preferring one another, not slothful in business, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord." You know what God is saying? Hey, you ought to serve God with a sense of urgency. Why? Because you don't really know when your closing time is. We don't know when our business closes. We don't know how long we have on this earth. Therefore, we should be not slothful in business. Don't be a lazy bum. Don't be that employee who's just a clock watcher, right? Don't be that employee who's a clock watcher. He's lazy. He just can't wait to finish his work, get his paycheck, and be on his way. No, be fervent in spirit, serving the Lord, the Bible says. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. You know, because we don't know when our closing time is, it should cause us to serve with a sense of urgency. The Bible tells us in Proverbs 27, verse 1, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." Well, you know, I'll put off serving God till, you know, a couple years from now when we have a couple kids and we're settled and we're good to go. Hey, boast not thyself of tomorrow. You don't know what a day may bring forth. And yeah, you can make plans for next Sunday when you might not even make it to tomorrow. Right. Think about that. Your store might close tomorrow. Your business hours can end this week. Yep. And so we should not boast ourselves of tomorrow. We don't know what a day is going to bring forth. Look at James chapter 4 and verse 13. Go to now, ye that say today or tomorrow we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. Whereas ye know not what shall be on the morrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. What is he saying? You're like a store that's open for business, but it just all of a sudden closes down. It just vanishes away. It just closed. No longer operating. Verse 15, for that ye ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. You see, we never want to have this presumptuous attitude that God's going to give us decades upon decades of life. We would definitely like that. I pray for that. I desire that if the Lord wills. And we should always have the attitude, hey, we're going to win a bunch of people to Christ. We're going to do a lot of soul winning marathons. We're going to grow our church. We're going to raise our children for God if the Lord wills. Amen. I want to serve God today and tomorrow. I shall cast out devils today and tomorrow and fight against the reprobates and wicked people if the Lord wills. Amen. Never be presumptuous. Verse 16, but now you rejoice in your boasting. All such rejoicing is evil, the Bible says. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. So the person who says, well, you know, I'll put this off until tomorrow. I'll put this off until next year. 2020 is a bad year for me. I'll start serving God in 2021. No, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Amen. If you know what God is telling you to do and you don't do it, the Bible says you're sinning, according to the Bible. We only have a small window of opportunity to serve God. These are our business hours. And we need to make sure that we're about our Father's business because we don't know when this store of ours can close. Okay? Go to Matthew 26. Matthew chapter 26. Hey, win souls today. Win souls this week. Preach the gospel today. Preach the gospel this week. Seek to win people to Christ today. Don't put it off for another time because that business might close. Hey, raise your children today for the Lord. Amen. You know why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. And I'm not saying the night cometh as in your children may die or you may die. How about just the fact that there's going to come a point where your children grow up and you no longer have influence over their life? Yeah. The night cometh when no man can work. And I guarantee you there's a lot of people out there who love the Lord, who've had children go astray, they backslid, or for whatever reason it is, and you know what? For that person, the night came when no man can work, when no parent can teach their child. So we as God's people, we need to take advantage of the time that we have now. And don't say, well, I'm going to teach him the ways of the Lord, you know, as he grows a little older, I'll put it off until then. No, no, no. The night cometh when no man can work. And that store can close at any moment. Okay? Hey, children, serve the Lord now. Amen. Remember thy creator in the days of thy youth when the evil days come not. Hey, the evil day of paying rent. The evil day of taxes. The evil day of growing up responsibilities. Now, you should want to grow up, but you know what? If you are not distracted by those things, you live with your parents are in church, you should want to serve the Lord today. Amen. Right? Because the night cometh when no man can work. The night cometh when, you know what, you're going to have more responsibility. You know, you're going to have to pay bills and do all these things. And you know what? There's going to come a time when you can't dedicate as much time as you would as a single, as a child, to the things of the Lord. Right. Serve God today. Right. Don't put it off until next week. Don't say, well, when I grow up, I'm going to start reading my Bible. When I grow up, I'm going to take these things serious. Serve God today. Be like Josiah. Amen. Right? Whose heart feared the Lord when he was just a child. Remember the Creator in the days of your youth. Serve God today. Win souls today. Raise your children for the Lord today. Get serious about the things of God today. Because the night cometh when no man can work. And you know what? You know what's the worst feeling ever? Is when you need something. And you're like, man, I'm going to go to this store. And you go there, the lights are on. And what do? You go to the door, and it's like, dun, 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 dun. It's like, what? Google said they don't close until 11. And they're like, it's like 10:59 or something. It's too late. It's too late. Worst feelings ever when you go to a restaurant, you're hungry, and you go there, and it's closed. Can't go in. Why? Because business hours are closed. You should have gone earlier. You should have went when there was time. You should have looked up the actual business hours when they were open and gone there when the product was available for you. But now it's too late. It's too late. But guess what? Right now it's not too late for us. Okay? Now, knowing these things, knowing that we as individuals, we as a church, we have business hours, so to speak, of operation. What does this tell us? And by the way, again, our church has business hours. You know, my desire is that this church would exist until Christ returns. If the Lord wills, amen? Amen. But you never know. Things can happen where maybe this church gets shut down for whatever reason. I die. Some wicked person takes over, takes the church in a different direction. And yeah, they become some liberal church and it dies or whatever. You never know. We don't know what may happen. So you know what? We need to do right while we have the chance. We need to preach the word of God while we have the chance. We need to be a first work soul winning church while we have the opportunity, while the store is still open. Amen. So knowing that businesses have hours of operation, what should this tell us? What will this show us? Well, number one, I've already mentioned this, but go to Galatians chapter 6. Business hours means that there's a small window of time to get the job done. That's what it means, right? You have a small window of time. It's called your life, which is like a vapor to do the work of the ministry. So you know what? Take soul winning serious. Be a part of a team. Get trained, get discipled, learn so that you can operate during these business hours. Amen. Look what the Bible says in Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9. Let us not be weary in well-doing. What does weary mean? You're tired. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we get tired of doing right. It's tiring. Doing the same thing over and over again. And the individual says, well, not me. Okay, you holier-than-thou, self-righteous, pompous jerk. Everyone gets tired of doing right every once in a while. Right. Especially when there's the glitz and the glamour of the world. You have your friends that are in the world showing you, you know, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. You start questioning and wondering, man, what am I doing? I'm not having any fun. I got to get up in the morning on Saturday. I got to get up early in the morning on Sunday for church at 10 o'clock, 10:30. That's not early, okay? Hey, don't be weary in well-doing. Why? For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. What does that mean? There's payday. Amen. You're going to get your paycheck, and it's going to be worth it. Amen. As we have therefore opportunity, verse 10, let us do good unto all men. But I want you to notice that God wants us to have favorites, especially unto them of the household of faith. So we should actually favor God's people more than anyone else. Not at the expense of everyone else, obviously. We need to preach the gospel to other people, get them saved, get them integrated into the church, get them growing. But it says here that we need to do good, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. Why? Because the night cometh when no man can work. That's why it's important that you sow good seeds today amongst your brethren. You know, when we ask that you pray for someone who is in need, pray for that individual. Why? Because the night cometh for you when you're going to be sick and you're going to covet someone else's prayers. Hey, when a lady has a child in the church, you know what? What you need to do is use that opportunity to do good unto that person. Bring that person a meal. Why? Because the night cometh when you're going to bear a child and you're going to need someone to be a blessing to you. When someone is in need of our church, they have some sort of physical need, spiritual need, yeah, even financial need. Take advantage of that as an opportunity to do good unto them, because the night cometh when you're going to have that same exact need and you're going to want someone to be a blessing to you. Okay? So business hours means that there's a small window of time to just get the job done. Now look, obviously, you know, there's some jobs that have breaks, 15-minute break or whatever, 30-minute break. And there's times in our life that we need to take a break, that we need to come apart, right? Go and have a meal and go and relax and rest and nap or do whatever you have to do. But that shouldn't characterize our life. Amen. Our lives should never be characterized by rest and relaxation and having fun. Right. Folks, this is a time of war. Amen. This is a time of war. This is not a time to beat our spears and swords into plowshares to go plow the field that, you know, that we're going to have in the millennial reign. Right now is the time to fight. Right now is the time to win souls. Right now is the time to be on the front lines. Amen. Okay? to get the job done, and we only have a small window of time. We're here for such a time as this. Go to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. Business hours, when are they? We don't know. We just know this. The store has already been open. Once you got saved, you walked into a store, you were given a job, you got your badge, now it's time to go to work. Now it's time to do the work, to maintain good works, to fulfill your responsibility, to get the job done. Why? Because there's going to come a time when the store is going to close and it's going to be too late for you to earn your paycheck. Yeah. Matthew 25, number two. So number one, business hours means there's a small window of time to get the job done. Number two, listen to this. Customers, you know, because business have customers. When we think of the business hours, this teaches us this, that customers need to get the product before the store closes. Now, we are about our Father's business, and the main product that we're giving out, not selling, is what? Salvation. Amen. And here's the thing. It's already paid for. Right? God paid for it with the blood of his son, with the sacrifice of his son. So we're giving this product away. And you know what? It's free for everyone. Amen. It's quality. It's eternal life. It's free. It lasts forever. Guaranteed. You don't need to buy insurance on it. It's going to last you forever. It's a great product. It's like a Costco product. Sometimes they don't work. Hey, but they got a good return policy, amen? But let me say this. You know, the customers out here that are coming out, that are out here that are not saved, they need to get the product before it's too late. Because then the store will close. And you know what happens when the store closes? They die and go to hell. And let me just remind you that hell exists. Or heaven exists, excuse me, hell exists. And when a person, when an individual dies, their soul will descend into hell. They'll lift up their eyes in hell if they're not saved. Folks, the Bible tells us that the fearful and the, you know, the unbelieving, the murderers, whoremongers, and sorcerers, and idolaters, you know, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. Whosoever's name was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. That means if you're not saved today, you haven't believed on the Lord Jesus Christ, you haven't trusted Jesus as your Savior, when you die, your soul will go to hell. Well, I'm a good person. Folks, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us. Our works cannot save us. Therefore, we conclude that a man is justified by faith without the deeds of the law. No flesh shall be justified in his sight by his works. You can't work your way to heaven. You can't keep God's commandments to go to heaven. You can't try to be a good person to go to heaven. Why? Because no one is perfect, and you would agree with that. No one's perfect. We're not perfect. We fail. We have flaws. We sin. The Bible says that there is none that doeth good, no, not one. There is not a just man upon earth that doeth good and sinneth not, the Bible says. And look, when a murderer is being tried, you know, is in front of a judge, he's not like, you know, let me go free because look at all the good that I've done. They're being judged based upon the crime they've committed. You know, and he that keepeth the whole law yet offend in one point, he's guilty of all, the Bible says. James 2:10. And so, look, we need to come to the realization, hey, if you're out there and you're not saved, you better get this before the store closes. Because the store for you can close today. The store for you can close tomorrow. And at that point, it's too late for you. You can no longer get that free product. Look what the Bible says in Matthew 25, verse number 1. Then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forth to meet the bridegroom. And 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. While the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. So what do we see here? We see 10 virgins. 5 of them have oil in their lamps, and that oil is a representation of the Holy Ghost. Because when we get saved, when we believe on Jesus Christ, the Bible says that we're sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance unto the redemption of the purchased possession. So when we get saved, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell within us. He's sealed unto the day of redemption. We have the Holy Spirit. But here we see that there was 5 that had it and 5 that did not. Verse 8, and the foolish said unto the wise, verse number 6, and at midnight there was a cry made, behold, the bridegroom cometh, go ye out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. What is he saying? Hey, business, the store is about to close. You know, and the guy's in his car and he's rushing over there, and his buddy's already in the store. He's already getting his product. And he's calling him. He's like, hey, make sure you give me some of your product. He's like, no, you have to get your own. One per customer. One per customer. I can't give you mine. It's one per customer. You have to come here and get it yourself. It's like this. It's like the individual who thinks they're going to go to heaven because they're related to someone who's going to heaven. Right? I was like, oh, just pray for me, man, that I get to have. I know you're right with God. I know you read the Bible. I know that you love God and you have a connection with God. Therefore, you know, God's going to let me in. It doesn't work that way. I know it says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved in thy house. But when it says in thy house, it doesn't mean like by osmosis they get saved just because one individual in the household gets saved. Okay? Let's talk about the whole household has to believe on Jesus Christ. I remember I heard a sermon like this. God has no grandchildren. It's true. He only has children. Right? But as many as receive them, to them give you power to become the sons of God, even unto them that believe in his name. You don't become a grandchild. Oh, because I'm related to someone who's saved. You cannot get the oil from the five other virgins. You have to get it yourself. Verse 9 says, but the wise answer, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. Go get your own Raising Cane's. These guys who want to show up late to Raising Cane's and have you order their food and all that stuff. Get your own, man. No, I'm just kidding. That's what he's saying. Lest there be not enough for us and you, but go ye rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Verse 10 says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. What does that mean? That person comes, and now they know salvation is by grace through faith. But you know what? It's already too late. The door shut. And let me just say this. Everyone who's in hell today, they all believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. They all know who the true God is now. They all know that it was by faith alone. Now they know. Every atheist and agnostic, every evolutionist, every wicked individual that has ever perished and gone to hell, they all know the truth now. But guess what? It's too late. The door is now shut. Verse 11, afterward came also the other virgin saying, Lord, Lord, open unto us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Store's closed. We're closed. You know that muffled sound in there? We're closed. It's like, but the lights are on. It's too late. Look at the business hours. You're too late. It's sad. You know, and if you're in here today and you're not saved, don't walk out these doors until you get saved. Amen. Most every individual in this room can give you the gospel and get you saved. It's really easy. And it's free. Why not? Yeah. You don't have to pay for it. You don't even have to attend our church faithfully to go to heaven, right, as most religions would teach you. Mm-hmm. You don't have to be a good person to go to heaven. Right. You don't have to try to keep God's command. You don't even have to get baptized to go to heaven. Right. You don't have to do anything. It's already paid for by Jesus Christ. He paid for it with his blood. All you have to do is just accept it. All you have to do is believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, the Bible says. Just accept it. Just go there and accept it. It's free. Why wouldn't you want it? Why not? I think I can make my own product. I'll just do it yourself. You know, I just make my own product. It doesn't work that way. You can't save yourself. Can't save yourself. The product is free. Just take it. Amen. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. And look, if you're a visitor in our church, after service, someone is going to come up to you. They're going to ask you, hey, are you 100% sure that if you died today that you'd go to heaven? This is what I encourage you to do. Just be honest. And just say no. And when you say no, they're gonna show you from the Bible how you could be 100% sure. And I want to encourage, they're basically going to give you the product. I'm just encouraging you to just take it. Just listen to them, take it, get saved. Amen?
Amen.
Because the night cometh when no man can work. Number three, knowing that there's business hours shows us that employees need to show up for work if they want to get paid.
Right?
Right? Can't show up when the store is closed. It's too late.
Yep.
Ephesians 2, verse 8 through 9 says, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them," the Bible says. You see, God is giving us a job to do. Now, I know there's a lot of churches out there. I know there's a lot of denominations out there that want to make you think that you just have to have a relationship with Jesus. Like, we're just cool with Jesus. He knows me. I know him. We have a cool relationship. It's all good. Doesn't work that way. He's our boss. That's why they call him Lord. Lord means boss.
Right.
Why call ye me Lord and do not the things which I say?
Mom.
It's not like, well, we got a form of communication. Yeah, we do too. It's called God's word. It's called his commandments. We obey them. We do them. And he gives us a reward for it.
Amen.
That's the way it works. And look, God gives no consolation prizes.
Right.
It's not like you show up after hours and God's like, well, you know, I know you mean well. Here's a voucher. Here's a, you know, a small little paycheck or something. You didn't do anything, but, you know, just trying to hook you up. I'm trying to be generous to you. It doesn't work that way.
Amen.
I thought you said it was free. No. Salvation is free.
Right.
Salvation is free. If you're a customer, it's free. But when it comes to a reward thereafter, because God promises us rewards in heaven and in the millennial reign, you have to work for those. Not working for eternal life, just what you get when you go there. When you're in the millennial reign, when you are resurrected, at that point you get rewards. You see, we as Christians, we're not concerned anymore with our salvation because that's already taken care of.
Amen.
We're concerning ourselves now with making sure that we work during the hours of operation.
Amen.
Because we want a fat paycheck at the end of this life. We are his workmanship created in Christ Jesus unto good works. Titus 3:8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly, that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. These things are good and profitable unto men." Verse 14, go to John chapter 15 if you would. John chapter 15. Titus 3:14 says this, "And let ours also learn to maintain good works, for necessary uses, that they be not unfruitful." Look, folks, that's why we're called First Works Baptist Church.
Amen.
It's a working church.
Yep.
It's a church that is dedicated itself to preaching the gospel, serving the saints, perfecting the saints, preaching the word of God, getting the job done as best as we know how.
That's right.
Okay? So don't expect a paycheck if you don't show up to work. Now listen to this. If an employee has this job and they don't show up to work, not only do they not get paid, what happens to them? They get fired.
Yep.
You're fired. What does that mean? God basically removes you from being an employee.
Yep.
It's a biblical concept. Look at John 15, verse 6. "If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they are burned." Because when a boss fires an employee, he's basically saying you're worthless. You are a worthless employee. You're not a good worker. You're fired. Go find another job somewhere else. Go to another denomination or something. But here's the thing, go work for Wendy's or something. Go do something else. You can't work here at this restaurant. You can't work here at this business. You're no good. You're not getting the job done. You can't even show up to work. And the bosses have the right to do that. Because he's paying. He expects a job to be done. Well, you know, in like manner, God does the same exact thing. If there's a Christian out there who's just not laboring for the Lord, they're just kind of consuming things upon their own lust, they're just serving themselves, God is their belly, they just don't have God's agenda on their radar, well, you know what? They're cast forth as a branch, they wither, they're burned, and they're done. You become worthless. God's basically saying you're fired. Now, it doesn't mean you're fired like you're going to hellfire. It just means you're worthless. It just means you can't work for God anymore. And there's plenty of examples of people in the Bible who were fired. Give me one of the most famous examples of someone who was fired in the Bible. Saul, Samson, Aaron eventually was fired from his job. So was Moses at one point, right? Because he didn't obey the boss. He was, the boss told him, do this. And what did he do? He, instead of speaking to the rock, he smote it. And God says, you're fired. You're a great employee for this many years. You did a great job, but I'm going to have to let you go. Because you smote the rock instead of speaking to it. You're messing up the symbology of Jesus Christ. Therefore, you're fired. Now, you didn't lose the salvation. Because you can't lose your salvation. What's another example of someone who was fired in the Bible? Adam. He's the first employee to get fired. When the store first started, God had a lot of hopes for this first employee, and it's just like, he really messed up too. His wife actually is the one who messed it up. He hired both of them. Give me someone else. Who else? Who's another individual in the Bible who was fired? How about Achan? What was he doing? He was stealing from the company. When God told him, don't take of the accursed thing, he takes the Babylonian garment, he takes the silver, and he hides it under the earth. The boss comes and is just like, hey, you're stealing from me. I got you on camera. It's called the omnipresence of God. And he's stoned with stones. He's fired. I mean, we could go on and on and on of individuals in the Bible who God says, you're fired. You can't work for me. Folks, I do not want to get fired. First of all, it's just shameful. And two, you can't earn anything. God pays well. Amen. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow to it. I mean, God pays good. He multiplies, he gives a lot of rewards, but you just got to make sure you're getting the job done. You got to make sure that you're serving him and not consuming it upon your own lust. Don't be the John 15:6 employee. Right. That's right. You're just worthless. You're just like, well, I'm just here. Come to church every once in a while. I'm not really into the whole soul winning thing. I'd rather just have the label of being the independent fundamental Baptist. No, go to work. Earn your paycheck, go to work, because the night cometh when no man can work, and some nights for others close sooner than others, right? Some stores close sooner for others than for other people because of the fact that they're fired. They're fired sooner than later. Go to Revelation. Let me see here. Go to 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. Not only that, but number four, let me say this, is that employees, they get paid commission. They don't get paid hourly. Mm-hmm. Right? Right? It's not like, well, you got saved at this time, so from the time you got saved to the time you die, because you've been a Christian for this long, therefore you get X amount of rewards because of that. It doesn't work that way. But a lot of people think like that. Yeah. Don't you know how long I've been in church? Yeah. Don't you know how long I've been a Christian for? I've been a Christian longer than you've been alive. It's just like, and you still act like that? A lot of people base their Christianity on literally like how many years they've been saved for. It's just like, that doesn't do anything. Amen. You're still a babe in Christ. Because you're not rewarded on how long you're a Christian. You're rewarded on the work that you do during that allotted time. Amen. I mean, think about the laborers in the vineyard. Remember the laborers? The ones who came at the latter end, they got paid the same amount as those who came in the beginning, even though they came later. My belief is because they did more work. They did the same amount of work. And those laborers who came at the end, of course, we know are representative of the Gentiles. The ones who came in the beginning were the Jews. And you know what? This is the reason why Jesus said, greater works than these shall ye do, because I go unto my Father. So I believe the Gentiles are doing way more work, obviously, than the Jews have, and that's why we're getting paid the same. We're getting the same commission. Commission is great, isn't it? It's just like, you get this task done, you get paid for this. You get this job done, you get paid for this. Revelation 22, verse 12 says this, "And behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according as his work shall be." Matthew 16, 27 says, "For the Son of Man shall come in the glory of his Father with his angels, and then he shall reward every man according to his work." So what is he saying? I'm paying you commission. And look, more specifically, for doing the Great Commission. So you get paid commission for fulfilling the Great Commission. Okay? Well, let's be honest. There's going to be some Christians who are just paid more than others. It's not because they're more talented. It's not because they were working for the company longer than you. It's not because of any of those reasons. What's the reason why some Christians are going to get paid more than others? Look at 1 Corinthians 15, verse 9. Because the Apostle Paul is a great example of this. He was one that was born out of due season. The other apostles, I mean, they were there with Jesus for those 3 years. These are the OGs of the disciples. They were there for a while. Paul came like late, right? Well, look what the Bible says in verse 9. "For I am the least of the apostles, that I am not meet to be called an apostle, because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace which was bestowed upon me was not in vain, but I labored more abundantly than they all, yet not I, but the grace of God which was with me." Now, let's just be honest. Who is he talking about when he says, "I labored more than they all"? He's talking about the other apostles. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Peter, John, James. He's like, "I actually worked harder than them." And he says, "Yet not I, but the grace of God that was in me." And he says, "I was born out of due season. I was hired later on. I came on the team later on, but yeah, I'm getting paid more than them." I mean, is it any mistake? Is it any coincidence, should I say, that the New Testament vastly has to do with the Apostle Paul? He wrote the majority of the books in the New Testament. He's doing a great work. The spotlight is on him. He's the employee of the month. Right? This guy's like the employee. He is the employee of the month, and God is honoring him. Why? Because he labored more abundantly than they all. Now, look, obviously, you shouldn't have this attitude that I just want to get paid more than anybody here. Because we don't really know who's the employee of the month in our church. It might not even be me. It could be anybody. Just because I'm a pastor doesn't mean I'm going to be the one who's more rewarded than anybody else. There's probably an individual here who's quiet, just getting the job done, just soul winning, being consistent. Maybe they're just doing more at their capacity, and therefore they're going to get paid more. I think the most important thing is just that we get paid. Amen? Yeah. You labor and you get paid. But let's just be honest. There are some that are going to be paid more than others. And don't be intimidated by people who are in different churches. "Oh, you bunch of youngins over at First Works Baptist Church. You guys haven't even been around for 10 years. You guys haven't been around for 20 years, 30 years. You're over here. You know, we've been Christians a lot longer." And yeah, but here's the thing. Have you been working during that time, though? And aren't there employees at jobs that look like they work, but they're not actually working? Isn't that true? They look busy, or they work when people are watching. When the boss is there, they pick up the broom and start sweeping. They look like they work when it's needed to look, right? Well, you know what? Churches are the same exact way. Amen. There's a lot of churches out there that look busy about the Father's business. But when you actually observe them and analyze their ministry, it's just like they're not getting anything done. They're not seeing baptisms and salvations, and people are not growing in their knowledge of the Bible. It's a lot of fluff. A lot of employees, you're paying a lot of people to just do a lot of nothing. Okay? No, we need to get paid. I mean, the way God pays us is by commission. Amen. Making sure we get the job done. That's why it's important to keep track. That's why we keep track of salvations in our church. Amen. We want our church to be on the Forbes magazine of heaven. The church that produces this amount of souls and baptisms. And look, folks, the proof is in the pudding. Proof is in the pudding. We see a lot of baptisms, thank God. You know, you say, "Why do you do that?" Because we want to get paid commission. That's why. Because God told us to do it. And we want to be rewarded as a church, as an individual. And I like the spirit of our church where they're just like, they get someone saved and they're just like, "Now you got to get baptized." You know, And that, you know what that individual is doing? They're just, they're working hard. They're laboring. They're earning their rewards. I love that. It's great. Go to Matthew chapter 20. Matthew chapter 20. Title of the sermon is Business Hours. We've got to make sure we get it as much done as possible in the allotted time that we have. There's a small window of opportunity to do a work for God. Take advantage of it. If you're saved, you're now an employee. Closing hours, we don't know when it is. For every individual, it's different because we are probably going to die at different times throughout our life, right? Throughout the lifespan of our church. But we need to take these principles to heart and recognize these things because, you know, we don't want to just be the Christian who just like sits, soaks, and sours. We want to be laborers. And lastly, number five, this is the most obvious one, is that employees get paid at the end of their shift. That's how it works. Okay? So when the hours close, that's when we get rewarded. And that should encourage us too. Because again, it goes back to that previous point that we should not be weary in well-doing because we will reap in due season if we faint not. A lot of people who, you know, can't take the job and they quit. Right? Yeah. I hate my job. I hate working here. And it's just like they quit midway or whatever. It's just like, man, you almost got a promotion. What are you talking about? You almost got that promotion. You almost got that raise. You almost got rewarded, and then you just throw in the towel. And folks, work, although sometimes can be fun, is not supposed to be fun. Right? Now, we can have a good time working, have a good laugh, enjoy each other's company, enjoy your fellow workers, laborers with you, but at the end of the day, we need to have the mentality, hey, through thick and thin, for better or for worse, I'm going to keep serving God because I know that I'm going to get rewarded. I know I'm going to get paid at the end of the shift. Matthew 20, verse 7 says this. They say unto him, because no man hath hired us, he said unto them, go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall ye receive. So when even was come, the Lord of the vineyard saith unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last until the first. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny. But when the first came, they supposed that they should have received more, and they likewise received every man a penny. And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house, saying that these last have wrought but 1 hour, and thou hast made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and the heat of the day. This is the guy who basically gets hired at the very last hour, and he just does all the work that guy took 7 hours to do. He does at the 8th hour. And this guy's getting mad, because the guy who came last did his work. It's like the Jews getting mad at us, right? They're getting mad at us because we're propagating Christianity. Well, that's what you're supposed to do, Jew. You're supposed to be a light unto the Gentiles. You're supposed to be a light unto us. You failed to do the job. That's why the kingdom of God was taken from you and given to a nation, bringing forth the fruits thereof. That's why your position was taken, and it was given to us. And the Gentiles were promoted to being God's chosen people. The chosen generation, they took that badge from you, your special little button, and they gave it to us. They're like, there you go. That's what happened. Verse 13, but he answered one of them and said, friend, I do thee no wrong. Didst not thou agree with me for a penny? Take that thine is and go thy way. I will give unto the last even as unto thee. Is it not lawful for me to do what I will with mine own? Is thine eye evil because I am good? Now what can we learn from this passage? You know, we cannot be upset at God for what we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. Amen. Can't be bad. Some things will be wood, hay, and stubble. Other things will be silver and gold. And the works that we do will be tried as by fire. Some will be saved, yet so as by fire. That means all their works were burned. When they look at their log of everything that they did, it's like, you didn't do anything. What were you doing that whole time when you were down there? Well, I went to church. I listened to sermons and stuff. And you know, I called myself an independent fundamental Baptist. It's like, that's not what I told you to do, though. There's other things that you didn't do any of it that's on the list. You're not going to get anything. That individual can't get mad at God for that. That individual said, well, you're not fair, God. What do you mean? I guess I really didn't do anything, did I? Yeah. You're not going to get anything. This is what I believe the Bible means when it says that some will wake up to everlasting contempt. Because there's going to be a lot of regret at the judgment seat of Christ. Like, man, I should have done more. I should have actually listened to the pastor when he said, go soul winning. I should have listened when he said to maintain good works and serve God, because now I'm paying for it. Now I'm just disappointed. They're saved, and thank God for that. But you know, if God offers more, if he's giving bonuses, I want the Christmas bonus. The Christmas bonus, amen? That we receive at the judgment seat of Christ. So what is the sermon for today? The sermon is simply this, is that, hey, these are the business hours. We're in the business hours right now. Our store is open. The product is free. The laborers are few. The employees are few. We need to make sure we pray the Lord of harvest that he sends forth laborers into his harvest. And that those employees are making sure that they do the right job, do it the right way, so they earn the rewards that God has set for them. Amen? Inspire heads and have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you so much for your word. And thank you for that phrase there, the night cometh when no man can work. And God, help us to remember that every day. When we grow tired of the mundane, when we grow tired of maybe attending church and, you know, going soul winning and teaching our kids and laboring and serving, help us to remember the night cometh when no man can work. The shift is almost over. We need to make sure we put in as much work as possible. And I'm 100% sure that when all of us here are in the millennial reign, this memory is the memory of the mundane and the boredom or the tiredness or the weariness is going to be a faint memory. It's probably not even going to be there anymore, because we're going to be reaping the benefits of the labor that we put into while we were here on this earth. When the time, when the day was still there and the store was still open, we had opportunity to work. Help us to take those things in consideration and to work till Jesus comes. In Jesus' name, amen.